Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Round Table with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Round Table with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
No, this is, oh, this is crap because Mitch is picking out certain things. He's not playing the entire sound.
Second question.
I'm putting in things.
Second question had to do with Morgan Freeman some CBS program.
Right. Electric Company. You don't know what
right
it is.
Right after Diener got it, though. Right
Morgan
after.
Kimmel. I said it as he finished. Like, I said it almost the exact same time. I said I was still formulating my thought. I was like, it's not Sesame Street. It's the Electric Company. As Diener said the exact same time.
I think it's,
go to hell, Mitch. Leap off.
I think
it, I knew it.
You didn't know it either.
I think it's Morgan Freeman. No, I don't know the answer to any of these questions.
Shut up. How about that? How about you shut up and you stop playing the sound because you don't know any of it. You're like Louisville fans. You don't know crap.
Oh, no.
Your coach can't recruit. None of it. You're just like a Louisville. You are a Louisville fan.
I think
you
it's
don't
a
know
watch.
I think
you heard Neer say electric and you go, oh, yeah, Electric Company.
Oh, Mitchell Hannigan. No one knew how to push my buttons better than Mitch.
He texted me today.
Me too. Probably about the same thing, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I got a text from old Mitchell, and he wanted a favor, where I was like, yeah, sure, absolutely. It's not a problem at all. Thanks to Adam and his staff for dropping off Wing Zone Catering to the ESPN Louisville Studios. Perfect for your next tailgate. Also, you get 10 boneless wings and wedges for $9.99. That is a great deal. Order online, wingzone.com. That's three area locations in Metro Louisville, including the James Strebel Memorial Wing Zone right by Holy Cross High School on Dixie Highway. Let's go ahead. Let's start the blitz. It's a busy one today. Ty Spaulding, CardinalSports.com. Hello, Ty. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well. How are you all?
Doing great. Doing fantastic here on a beautiful Thursday. Blue skies, fluffy white clouds, and the sun's out. So, Ty, I know there's a lot to talk about in Louisville land, but we need to start with the Patino stuff first. Obviously, that was a meteor that hit the earth and shook us all today. Initial thoughts on all of this as Patino has, I mean, seemingly fully turned back BBN.
Yeah, I think my initial takeaway is just, like, you know, some friends of ours that happened to buy St. John's gear, you know, that's my immediate reaction is, you know, taking that step and going to that length, and then now you find out Patino is using that money, the St. John's money, to write checks to UK football. Definitely a little bit of backpedaling needs to be done on the Louisville area St. John's fans. Secondly, I think for me, you know, I wanted Richard Pacino for a lot of because of the nostalgia factor, but I think more than anything, there was just never any closure here with Rick. And this was closure. Like, this was... Like, I think for a long stretch of time, I think the closure would have been Rick, you know, coming back to Louisville with the championship team. But the closure's here. This is the closure. Whether it's the type of closure we wanted, it's here. Rick coming back, any of that, I think, is out the window now. And I think everyone can move on and appreciate the times, but there doesn't need to be any more booty kissing or just any more of the defending Patino and, like I said, cheering for St. John's. Like, I think all of that, for at least most Louisville fans, stopped today.
Well, I, and you know, in the midst of all of the bluster and reactions and the fun we've had, you know, in the first hour, I think that's probably the most level-headed take I've heard, honestly. I mean, I think that you hit the nail on the head there. And there was a little bit of weirdness of the Louisville fans that were gravitating towards St. John's. Look, I get it. It was, you know, while Kenny Payne was here and things were terrible and they wanted to latch onto something, so they latched onto St. John's. Look, I get it. I understand why. But it does put those folks in an awkward position in regards to what happened today. So that was a well thought out, well said take there by Ty Spalding. And we'll flip gears now to the current coach and the current team as Pat Kelsey talked to the media today. Anything that stood out to you as Pat Kelsey addressed the media during midsummer workouts?
Yeah, I caught most of the press conference. You know, I think to me, you know, a lot of what they're doing right now is individual work. You know, they're only allowed 4 hours of practice a week right now. So it's a lot of individual work, a limited amount of five-on-five and stuff like that. But I think you can tell that, you know, just from the players and from Kelsey, like, a lot of the questions from the media were, and rightfully so, were about, you know, 13 new guys. Like, you could remember four or five questions starting off with, you know, 13 new guys. And I think the general takeaway for me is that whether it translates to the floor and into wins or not, I think Pat Kelsey really feels good about the way the guys have gelled together. In the way that all these newcomers are kind of really meshing well. I think that's kind of my plain Jane, just on the surface takeaway, is that he's got a lot of guys that have come from winning teams, and even the players talked about, you know, I know it's easier said than done, but it really does feel like this group of guys that, are, you know, for being newcomers and not knowing each other, are really seemingly sort of building a lot of camaraderie on and off the court. So he was hesitant to comment on individual players, you know, starting sure. lineups and who's standing out and whatnot. So without, you know, reading too much into his comments, I think just for me, it certainly seems like this group is really sort of coming together. And I think that was part of the hesitation with adding another player, is once they got this full group on campus, they really saw that they had a good vibe going, a good mix of personalities. And, you know, that's an invaluable component to college basketball nowadays. So I think for me, it's just this group is seemingly very very close already. They get along and they're seemingly building some chemistry pretty quickly.
Ty Spalding with us, CardinalsSports.com. We'll finish up with football, Ty. You know, you had probably another, I mean, speaking of being level-headed, you were level-headed again on Twitter, which is almost impossible. But Louisville obviously gets the flip from Jake Cook to Ohio State and then lost another player. And, you know, some of the Louisville fans were freaking out on Twitter. But you had a take to try to calm some people down about where Jeff Brohm's focus on. So if you could just kind of, you know, just let us know what your take was in all of this.
Yeah, and look, man, like, seeing what Kentucky's doing at the high school level makes, you know, giving this take, it makes it tougher to give this take. And, like, Louisville just landed a kid today that's, like, you know, he's, you know, Arkansas State, you know, Charlotte, sniffing mm-hmm. around in those waters. And, you know, look, like, you probably didn't even know Louisville got a commitment.
I did until you just told me.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, you can only manufacture so much buzz for a commitment. But, I mean, look, I think since then, you know, I've opened up to the other side. But my general take was that, like, we shouldn't be surprised by this. Like, in 2 years of a sample size, we've seen them. Like, even the Pierce Clarkson crew, like, they tried to hold on to, you know, most of that class, but, like, they weren't like living and dying, you know, trying to save that. And like we've just seen 2 years now that they've gone portal heavy. And I think that mindset comes from, you know, like on the basketball side, like Jaden Quayton's, like, do you really want to tie up that money, that amount of money to a 16-year-old that's never touched a basketball in a college game? And the same goes for football. Like, you know, Madden Sanker, like, I don't want to single anyone out, but he was a guy in that Pierce Clarkson class that was like a top 100 kid. And like, he's coming up on his second year, and like, I don't know that he's probably even in the two deep right now. Hmm. So like, if you're Louisville, like, you know, granted, you know, if you had the resources to tie to high school and college, you know, that would be the ideal situation. But if you had to choose, if I'm in that position, I would just rather have a proven commodity than someone from the high school ranks that, and even if you're a, like TJ Capers, for example, like he was a guy that, like, you know, you had to commit resources to, and he's just going to touch, granted he was an early enrollee, but he's probably another year or so away from making an impact. So I think for me, like, I would rather invest resources in immediate impact guys that are plug and plays versus, you know, high school guys that are highly rated and probably chances are they're going to make an impact for you, but it's not going to be for a couple of years. Like, you're just not in college football nowadays. You just don't see a lot of true freshmen making major impacts. But I do see the other side to it. Like, if you can stack together good high school classes, like Kentucky's trying to do, it seems like, I think that works as well. But my overall take is that whether you agree with it or not, let's not act surprised. Like, this staff has shown that they're going to go portal heavy, and until they change their philosophy, I think we just need to brace ourselves for mediocre high school classes.
All right, Ty Spalding, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate it, my man. Anything you got going on this weekend? What was Ty Spalding doing?
So last weekend I popped out to the old St. Martha picnic.
There we go.
My stomping grounds, baby.
Little Catholic school picnic. I think this weekend we're maybe going to do a dinner tomorrow and then UFC Saturday. But really, this is more of a weekend that you take off because you're starting early next week, Thursday to Saturday next week. This is a weekend you just kind of lay low. You get the UFC fights on. You crash, you know, with a 502 hemp gummy around 11:30 on Saturday night. And then you get ready for next week. So that's kind of the plan as of now.
All right. Well, Ty Spalding, you enjoy that and rest up for the 4th of July weekend. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
All right. See you guys.
All right. We'll bring in Cam Drummond now from the Lexington Herald Leader. Cam Drummond is eagerly awaiting the draft status of Justin Edwards right now. He's got his laptop open. He has his notes out, and he's ready to be a scribe. How are you, Cam?
You know, I always fancy myself a pretty good multitasker, and it looks like we're a little bit behind on the actual second round of the draft starting.
This is Tad.
If Edwards is selected during a period of time in which I'm on the air with you, that'll be a real test of my ability to do three or four things at once. So, in a way, I'm excited and kind of hoping it happens, but also would be more than happy if we waited until like the 37-39 range for Justin Edwards to go off the board.
Well, I think we'll have a little bit before we get to Justin Edwards, so I think we're safe, especially since the draft has been delayed. I mean, what's going on? Wasn't it supposed to start already? What's happening?
They moved it for the presidential suite earlier, but I think the 4 o'clock odd start time is to probably get people hook, line, and sinkered into the coverage, and then I would imagine in the next 10 minutes it would start.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, yeah, I was wondering. I was like, will we get some picks live on air? Let's go.
Yeah, this is a classic pregame show, you know, advertising the game starting at 5 p.m., but it's really an hour of pregame show. It's what Fox has done for anyone who's watched any of their Copa America or Euros coverage. It's, you know, tune in at 5, but, you know, kickoff isn't until 6 or whatever.
Right.
So,
you know, Jack's deep into that soccer, you know that.
Oh, yeah. No, he told me he got a ticket for the matchups happening in Atlanta tonight. The
really?
United States and Panama. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think Jack Grossman's the kind of guy to sit around at home watching the presidential debates. I'm happy he's doing something way more productive with his evening.
You're right. He has no idea. Does he even know there's a presidential debate tonight?
No chance.
He has no idea.
I made sure to tell him when I was down there last weekend that it was happening just so he could plan for the already horrible, you know, Atlanta traffic to be that tenfold tonight.
Right.
So I'm sure at some point he'll see, you know, a motorcade or some kind of sirens whiz by and a light bulb will go off in his brain.
Like, oh, that's going on. Well, I mean, I had to ask our guy Taj Spalding this to start things off. I mean, your reaction to the Patino booty kissing of BBN that happened today on KSR where Patino not only ingratiated himself with BBN once again, but I mean, essentially just took a flamethrower with any chance of him coming back to Louisville and reconciling with those fans or the people around the University of Louisville. What was your reaction? I was stunned. I was giddy. I was stunned. I mean, I felt all the feelings, Cam.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, like, let's start with the acknowledgement that this is a perfect bit of news to occur in late June. You know, there's really kind of nothing to talk about beyond the NBA draft and maybe some football recruiting notes. You know, this is kind of a blank space, more or less, in the sports calendar, especially around these parts. And obviously, this would be kind of a big deal and make waves, you know, even in the most hectic of times. But this is definitely a time where it's really going to capture people's imagination. You know, folks haven't been fired up about either basketball team or either football team for at least a few weeks now. So, like, this hit at the right time to get this kind of response. But to your point, it is fascinating. And you know, you have to think about kind of which side this comes from more. Is it more the Rick Pitino wanting to ingratiate himself with the folks from Kentucky from all those decades ago and still showing love to Big Blue Nation and the hiring of Mark Pope, kind of, you know, getting him all in the feels about that romantic time again? Or is it, and I tend to lean this direction, is it more just to kind of spite Louisville one final time, you know, and mm-hmm. Further twist the knife into the, you know, the body of what that was and the way that fell out, and obviously with hurt feelings still on all sides of that. So I think you can look at it from both angles, which probably makes, I would imagine, for really good sports talk radio discussion, because I do think there are rational points to be made about, hey, is this Rick Pitino cozying up to Kentucky, you know, like I said, with the Mark Pope hire and all the factors that have happened in recent months, obviously to talk about a potential St. John's game happening, which my colleague Ben Roberts has written about at Kentucky.com if anyone wants to read, but also the side of it of, you know, how much does Rick Pitino still hate Louisville, how much is there still hurt feelings all around. So I tend to think it's more of that, but certainly you couldn't ask for something to fall out of the heavens on a late June day to discuss on sports talk radio. Like, this is exactly what everyone needed right at this time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've done the entire show on this for the most part, Cam. It's been absolutely fantastic. Now, what were your reactions to the draft? Reed Sheppard goes number 3 to the Rockets. Rob Dillingham, number 8, traded to the Wolves, which, I mean, obviously, between the two of them, they both had great nights. Rob Dillingham had the best night. He's going to be teaming up with Anthony Edwards. They got that thing rolling right now in Minnesota. Reactions to Reed and Rob's landing spots.
Yeah, I mean, super fascinating on both ends. I don't think either of them going where they did was a particular surprise in terms of the range of the draft where they went. They both, you know, firmly went in the lottery as expected. I think a lot of people identified Houston and Reed Sheppard as a match made in heaven pretty early on. I think that's going to be a really interesting situation for him to walk into as well. Obviously, kind of off-court stuff aside, Ime Udoka is a really brilliant basketball coach, and they have a really interesting young nucleus of talent as well between Jabari Smith Jr., Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, and even some players kind of in the older parts of their careers as well, like Dylan Brooks and Fred VanVleet. So he's going into a situation, Reed is, where it's a bit more ready-made, you know, than you would expect for someone going to, you know, the number 3 team in the lottery in the NBA draft. So there's going to be a chance for him to be on a pretty good team, maybe fringe playoff team, although the West is so difficult, pretty right away. And obviously he's got a pretty unique skill set in terms of the shooting ability. You know, he's been pretty clearly labeled as the best, most consistent 3-point shooter, maybe even shooter overall in this NBA draft. So I think Reed Sheppard is going into a really high upside situation in Houston, given that he was taken third overall. And you mentioned with Minnesota, Rob Dillingham going to that team after being traded from the Spurs. That team's got a lot of personalities on it now, a lot of fun basketball players to watch, obviously. He's linking up with another former UK player in Karl-Anthony Towns. Mm-hmm. Him and Anthony Edwards forming a former one-and-done, you know, lottery pick SEC backcourt will be really interesting to watch. They seem to be a team that's on the rise and a team that's kind of poised to have a few more years of staying power right at the top of the conference. So, yeah, if you're a Kentucky fan who's at least got a passing interest in the NBA, I think you couldn't be more happy with the situations that those two guys are going to go into, simply because they're going to be on fun, exciting teams to watch, and they're going to have a chance to contribute relatively early on in their NBA careers.
Last one for you, and then we get you out here on, well, not to start your weekend, but get you out of here before the draft resumes. Who gets drafted first, Antonio Reeves or Justin Edwards?
Ooh, I still think Justin Edwards. ESPN's got him as the 10th best available player still on their board. I mean, let's not forget, for all the disappointment that kind of happened with his season, you know, this past year at Kentucky when he went one and done, this was still a guy who was bandied about as a potential number one overall pick entering the draft. And those expectations and those characteristics that all these scouts, because the thing to remember is, yeah, you might have a bad college season or it maybe doesn't live up to the hype that you had as a high school recruit, but NBA franchises are scouting these guys from the time that they're 15 or 16 right. years old. I mean, all these major events, whether it's the NBPA Top 100 camp, whether it's EYBL footage, whether it's USA Basketball stuff, you know, NBA franchises are on these guys, talking to people close to these guys, you know, even the draft process, the combine, the workouts, the interviews, all this stuff. You know, just what Justin Edwards did over the course of 32 games at Kentucky doesn't completely write the story of what his NBA draft profile is. And I think he's a guy, honestly, who is going to be asked to do things at the NBA level that kind of suit his talents a bit better. And you can kind of find niches and roles for guys that can serve you right away in a way that Kentucky maybe didn't do quite with him. Or, you know, it was a weird season last year. I think a lot of John Calipari seasons at Kentucky with individually talented players tended to go that way. So I think it's definitely Justin Edwards off the board. I wouldn't be surprised if Antonio Reeves goes. I mean, I can see the easy way that he would maybe slip right into that undrafted free agent range, and he'd be snapped up very quickly, obviously. But I definitely think Justin Edwards goes off the board by, you know, let's say pick 45 in this draft. And from there, a pretty clear hierarchy of Reeves being the next best available. And then Trey Mitchell will surely get a summer league shot somewhere, but I don't expect him to hear his name called over the next couple hours.
All right. Great stuff from Cam Drummond, as usual. Lex and Herald Leader, check him out there. Cam, you're safe. You don't have to multitask. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
We survived with the 31 pick some kid from San Francisco went. So the multitasking, I can fool my bosses into thinking that I can do multiple things at the same time for at least another week.
All right. See you later, Cam. Have a great weekend. Zach Osterman now joins us from the Indy Star. Zach, my friend, how are you doing?
Hey, how we doing?
Doing good, sir. Doing good, sir. It's been a while since we've talked to you, but there's some juicy IU tidbits out there that I'd like to, you know, discuss with you. Obviously, this summer, things have gone well for the program in regards to Mackenzie Mbako coming back, Mike Woodson having, you know, arguably the best transfer portal class in college basketball. And then they got capped off last night as Khalil Ware gets taken number 15 in the first round of the NBA draft. Pretty damn good offseason for Mike Woodson so far, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, probably without, you know, without picking on anyone, I'm guessing if you got Mike Woodson in a candid moment, he would kind of admit, you know, the previous offseason, Indiana probably just kind of took some gambles that didn't pay off in terms of some of the players they recruited, some of the guys they didn't get, some of the guys they retained, whatever. And they wound up with a roster with some limitations, especially once a couple of injuries, you know, kind of, you know, shortened the bench and even the starting lineup. I think, I don't say like Indiana's like learned lessons, because it's not like Mike Woodson didn't know what a good basketball team looked like before. But I think there was maybe a sense of, hey, let's, you know, in every possible way, let's kind of, you know, right the wrongs of I don't say, I mean, wrongs is harsh, because you know, we've talked about this. Like, they won 19 games, they went 10-10 in the Big Ten. They weren't a tournament team or anything near it, but it also wasn't, you know, it also wasn't the, you know, Dante's Inferno or anything like that. The way that
right.
sometimes you felt like it was kind of portrayed in the moment by some sections of the fan base. But I think there was kind of a feeling of, hey, let's you know, let's make sure we really double down on everything we can. You get Malik Renu back. You get McKenzie Mbako back. Those guys didn't even really test the draft.
No.
You get, obviously, Galloway and Leal to kind of lead that charge starting on senior day and kind of dispelling all these rumors that, oh, you know, the whole roster is going to transfer and they're going to have to start completely from scratch. And then, you know, there's different ways to do the portal. Indiana kind of chose to basically say, we're going to get all our job done in this first wave. You know, you can wait and see maybe who comes in like a wave after the tournament or who comes in a wave, you know, of sort of late NBA draft withdrawals. Indiana said, we're going to identify guys early. We're going to, you know, just go really hard after it for about 2-3 weeks because obviously the portal moves that fast anymore. And we're going to make sure that kind of all the work we need to get done is done decisively. And it felt like Indiana achieved a lot of that. Not that any team is perfect, but I think you can certainly look at this team on paper and see ways, you know, reasons why you might feel more optimistic about this Indiana team than a year ago. And then, you know, you another player in the draft. I mean, listen, it's kind of gone. It went under the radar for a long time. Like, Indiana only had one player drafted in 5 years.
Right.
And that's, you know, for a program with more draft picks than any other team in the Big Ten, I think the second most first-round picks of any Big Ten program other than Michigan, that's just not, obviously, it kind of goes without saying, but that's just not a trend you want to see. And so to go for, you know, 3 draft picks in 2 years, and it's not hard to maybe look at this roster that Indiana's going to bring back this year and see a couple guys that might be in that kind of conversation a year from now. It just kind of continues to enhance the idea that Indiana is, when it needs to learn from some mistakes or at least go through some growing pains, it's doing that. And it's keeping the momentum moving forward in the summer when I think that momentum was always going to be really important.
Zach Archman joining us from the Indy Star. Well, this is, talk about momentum and going forward. The other big story that hit IU World this week was the Hoosier Hysterics podcast where they, you know, told the story of being called into Mike Woodson's office with Scott Dolson and all those things. Did you get to listen to that or read anything about it, Zach?
I'm going to plead the fifth on this, and I swear to God the reason is basically that I've been on vacation for the last 2 weeks.
Oh, good for you.
So I was down at the beach for a while, and then I took one of my boys to St. Louis for a Braves game, which turned into an odyssey because the game got rained out. And then we lost power at home, so we decided to just hang around for the makeup and all that. But I have been largely out of touch. I know, you know, kind of what got around, and I know it certainly, sort of set Twitter on fire for a little while.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court has ruled that we're allowed to keep calling it Twitter. I did appreciate that. But, you know, in terms of specifics, I have just been, you know, kind of a little bit tuned out. This has very much been my sort of recharge and bank all the good memories for, you know, when I'm delayed in Cedar Rapids in a snowstorm in January kind of year.
So. No, I completely understand. Well, the long story short is basically the Hoosier Hysterics were mad because Mike Woodson, basically said you're not doing Fan Fest or your golf thing and all this other stuff and. You know, basically called them to the carpet in his office with Scott Dolson and said, you know, I'm cutting off all your access. Actually, last year was a good year. You called me stubborn and I'm not happy about it. And so kind of like aired all of his grievances with these guys. But I mean, the main takeaway is this weird relationship with coaches, administrators, and, you know, quote, fan media and how it kind of turned ugly in this instance.
Well, I think what's more, you know, to be fair to Eric and Ward, too, the guys that run Hoosier Hysterics, I think what's even more sort of pointed with this is they have been active in the NIL space. And they're not, you know, they're not Indiana's official collective. You're only allowed to have one official collective per NCAA rules that you can work with and, you know, kind of build campaigns and do fundraising, you know, joint fundraising and things like that. But, I mean, they've been active from very early on kind of in that space with IU basketball and it's kind of spread to women's basketball and football. And, you know, again, without wanting to get too much into the politics of it, I know there are people that are critical of them too and their message or the way they go about things. I try to just, I don't like media commenting on media when it's not, you know, it's not life or death. And so I just kind of try to steer clear of that. But I think that, you know, I think that it's you know, people kind of, I think, see this as, you know, fans and access and all that. But, like, to be fair to Eric and Ward, they, you know, they were very early on trying to be active in the NIL space too. I don't think, to be fair to them, it's not like, you know, I hope I don't sound like I'm criticizing them.
No.
They were very active in the NIL space for Indiana at a time when we were all, you know, generally just kind of trying to figure out, like, what is NIL and how does it work? And,
right.
You know, who goes where and what does it mean? And so that kind of adds layers to it. You know, I guess in the broadest possible sense, listen, it's anybody who's worked a beat or, you know, covered big-time athletics knows there will always be ebbs and flows. I can remember being in a baseball locker room, and it would be basically like a daily conversation about when we needed to ask the team for something, who was everyone like the least mad at any given time.
Right.
That was the person that was in, you know, was in charge of going to ask the manager or, you know, some player or whatever. So these dynamics are always a little bit kind of present behind the scenes, but you know, the NIL component of it, I think, is you know, adds a layer that,
sure,
you know, Eric and Ward have tried for a long time to be, you know, sort of active and supportive of IU in that space. And, you know, I think that's probably why this maybe goes up a level from just sort of, you know, everybody having some, you know, some sort of what's Festivus, I guess, you know, just
airing grievances,
kind of letting out, you know, whatever their objections or arguments are. So,
all right, Zach, man, appreciate it. Glad you had a nice vacation, and hopefully you're ready for Cignetti and football fall camp to start, and you'll be back at it, my friend. We'll talk soon. All right.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right. There we go. Zach Osterman, the Indy star. There we go. A chock full blitz today, Phil Baker.
Throughout that great analysis, and trust me, it was in there. Zach Osterman, appreciate him coming on from vacation. You were asking a very journalistic questions. I really hope Zach's question or statement in our ear, Zachy sees that is, makes the podcast. Because he just says, right as he's given a very thoughtful answer, I hear him. Something else. Oh, did my headphones go out? And Zach, you see, pauses. Of course, the Utah Jazz select the white guy
from Duke.
Kyle Filipkowski going to the Dukes.
Which breaks my heart. I want him to sit longer. Kyle, flip. Filipkowski. I mean, he went from top 10-ish lottery pick dude to second round. How about that Duke bump? How about that John Shire magic wand? How about that, Shire?
That was
the Shire effect.
That was perfect. To toss that into our ears whenever Zach Osterman was breaking down, if he had listened to the Hoosier Hysteria podcast,
it
warms my heart. That's the good stuff. So I hope that makes the podcast.
Good job by you, Zach.
That was a good job. I wish you would have saved it for on the air, actually.
I wish he would have broke it.
Because it's a good joke.
I wish he would have broke into the middle of Osterman giving that thoughtful response and Osterman, God bless him, was trying his hardest not to piss off Woody and not piss off the Hoosier Hysterics. He's trying to be as diplomatic as possible
You know what we should have done? And you did a wonderful job sending show notes and everything. We should have had Zach, just because Diener hated the NBA draft coverage. We should seriously have Zach EC just interject for the remainder of the show with what he sees on Twitter from Shams just play the NBA sounder and just the draft sounder and just have him interject. I think that's good content. If you can find that on YouTube, you can interject. I don't care what
we're talking about.
I don't care. We can be talking about Rick Pitino tattoo removal. I think you should do our own draft show remainder of the show.
Yeah, let's do that.
Andy will love it.
Anybody.
I want you to butcher some kid from Yugoslavia's name.
Yeah, Croatia or wherever.
Or land it. It's
more thinking. French guys.
All those French guys.
So, get the sounder. Zachy C's getting some airtime. I think this is good.
This is a great idea by you, Phil.
It just interjects. Like whatever. If I see Shams do it, just go to Shams. Him and Woj spoil the draft anyways.
Yeah.
Let's have Zachy C get in on the action.
Yeah. Then you hit the sounder. You bust in. You tell us who drafted who. And then you disappear.
Then
we hear you. I'm not saying you go away.
We'll just go back to what we're talking about.
We'll have our own segment at 5:30.
I want some guy that's getting off work that has no idea that we're having this conversation. conversation and just like, what's going on?
Is this ESPN Louisville or is this ESPN National? All right, let's take a break. On the other end, we'll keep going with this stuff. Kentucky lands a football recruit. There's a presidential debate tonight. Look, I know Pat Kelsey talked and Nick Valvano, God bless his soul, has cut all that sound. We might save that for tomorrow.
You got to hear the Tim Sullivan tattoo question.
If we can find the Tim Sullivan tattoo question, because I think Andy will want to hear that as well. We'll play that next, and then we'll do more Pat Kelsey stuff tomorrow, because there's too much meat on this bone, as they say. All right, Sonic Troll Volvo, that's the place you need to go to if you are looking for a security company for your home or your business. They're the number one rated security company in Kentucky and with over 350 five-star reviews on Google. Locally owned and family operated for over 35 years. They'll tailor your security system to what you want at your home or your business. They can do either. And what's great, if anything goes wrong or you need an upgrade, they'll come visit you down the road and work that out for you. Visit them online, SonicTrollKY.com, or give them a call, 502-966-8999, and see what they can do for you today. They do cameras, badge access, fire monitoring, and more. You can control it all from your phone, SonicTrollKY.com. The first time I fell in love with sports, and it was the happiest I've been in Kentucky as a Kentucky fan in any sport.
Wow.
The Calipari's a close second to that. But when man, Patino ran stuff, and when I went to middle school and I wore my BBN gear.
Welcome back to the Round Table with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
Hey, we're your home for play-by-play Thursday. Today, Reds at Cardinals, 7:15 p.m. here on ESPN 680 105.7. That series continues throughout the weekend. Reds at Cardinals, Friday, 7:45 p.m. on ESPN 680 105.7. And then Saturday, that series wraps up on Sunday. But Saturday, Reds at Cardinals, 1:45 p.m. And then Sunday, Reds at Cardinals, 1:45 p.m. as well. We also have Lou City at Birmingham Legion FC, 7:15 p.m. on Saturday, ESPN 680 105.7. Live Liquor Barn Studios, James Strebel, Phil Baker, Zach Cantrell.
So we've got two back-to-back picks of Tyler Kolek and Johnny Furthy was the last guy picked from Kansas. Two gritty, tough guys, coach's son kind of players, always guys that dive on the floor for the loose ball. First in, last out, those kind of the dream guy, the guys that everybody wants on their roster. You can win championships with these guys as your glue guys.
There you go.
Analysis you can't get anywhere else
from Zach Cantrell. But 4379680 UPS Jobs text line, Live Liquor Barn Studios. We'll read a few texts here real quick, Phil, and then we'll get to some other stuff. LOL, Kentucky has had five stars go undrafted several times. Thank you. Texter, his draft stock started flopping when he flopped and injured his ankle on that court storming. Texter, the Patino donation makes him pathetic and begging UK to accept him back. I disagree. It makes him a king. It put a crown on that man's head. He's not pathetic. He's royalty.
I want to interject with it. I know you read these, but this is pertinent to like everything that's transpired. We should have asked Ty, and I saw Nick Coffey put out there, so I'll give him credit for that. How did Patino and Stoops and Eddie Graham become friends?
That's a great question.
The Pacers pick Juan Nunez from Spain.
There we go. But oh,
I can't fake tick. I don't know anything about the guy.
A European gem. They got a gem from Europe.
Oh, we know they can shoot.
Yes, exactly. As Phil holds the mic suggestively as it fell off.
Yeah, that was a great catch by me. Yeah, I'm fondling the mic right now.
Yes. Make sure you don't cup the mic. But yes.
I'll be gentle.
Yeah, very gentle. But no, it's a great question by you. I don't understand. Like, I can see this.
I look like the Hawk to a girl. Let's be honest. I mean, there's no tiptoe around it.
There's no tiptoe around it.
Dieter blank. This.
There you go.
So, Speaking of the Hawk to a girl, I have to share this because this actually made my morning.
Okay.
So as I'm driving my son Wyatt to a hitting lesson with his coach Lou Ott. So we're
coach, what's his name?
Lou Ott.
Oh, Lou Ott.
Yeah, Lou Ott. Okay. So yeah. He runs a facility in the area. He's a mover and shaker in the baseball biz here in Louisville. So as I'm on my way, driving my son to a hitting lesson, they have John Bull on, Diener and Blank do, as you know, per their usual. And you know, John Bull was very happy because he just dropped his daughter off to take her boards, her medical boards, to become a doctor.
Has to be proud.
Yeah, he's like, it was like one of those like wow moments as a father. And like I agree, drop your kid off to take their medical boards to get their license to become a doctor has to be top 3-4 moment in his life with her. So anyway, they're talking, and John Bull he says the following. He said, you know, I texted my daughter while she's studying for her medical boards about how viral the Hawk Tua girl has become, which that made me smile. It warmed my heart. I was happy. I could just see young Miss Bowl with her medical book open, just studying hard, and her father, the Zaddy himself, the investigative journalist, texts, how viral is the Hawk Tua girl?
So Is that a text that you could send to any of your children?
No.
Okay, I didn't think
no.
so. I'm glad we're on the same. Like yeah. Maybe at different stages of their life.
Maybe she's an adult.
Right.
I mean, she's
exactly.
about ready to be a doctor. I mean, she's probably seen like anything and everything from the
right.
human body perspective.
He's a TikTok sensation.
I can't believe I'm doing this. Bobby Clintman. Pick 37th by the Detroit Pistons.
There you go.
Yes,
the Detroit Pistons.
Bobby, I'm hoping.
Yes.
Not Bobby.
They're
B-O-B-I.
Analysis.
I hope it is Bobby.
I hope it's Bobby.
Or Booby.
Bobby Fett.
Analysis you can't get anywhere else.
Texture says, spit into the mic.
I mean, it looks like it. Like, right? I mean,
it really does. Texture, Mitch is a bum, and St. Louis sucks butt. I clean that up. F Mitch. Okay, well, how about that? Terry Miners has tweeted.
Oh!
Oh!
You know, he's got a personal line.
He
to
does!
RP.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
And it's a picture of Patino flipping off the fans walking out the rough. Terry says, Terry Miners! Terry says, despite this moment in Rupp, at Real Patino's love for all things at UK Athletics is genuine. He gave it his all trying to beat at Kentucky men's basketball when he coached at Louisville men's basketball. But his most joyous era was at UK. During his tenure at U of L, the practice facility door code was 1996, which is 1996. So...
Oh, I told you this.
I didn't know this.
No, I told you this.
Did you? I don't think you.
So
I don't remember this
buddies,
conversation.
I had some buddies that were basketball managers, and I got to play in the artist formerly known as the Little Yum Center a couple
yeah.
times. I mean, shout out to me.
Yeah, shout out to you.
Shane Trigga and Chris Jones.
You're damn right.
Chirping on the sidelines to us scrubs out there a couple times. I'm like, are we supposed to
brick
be here?
Bricking shots
oh, yeah,
on
I mean,
the rim.
Side of the backboard.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And my buddy got us in. And this now they got don't even try it anymore because it's like the facial recognition.
I'm sure, yeah.
AI is taking over Skynet.
Ugh.
It was 1996. I saw it with my own eyes.
Phil,
I thought you knew this.
I didn't know this.
I think parent.
I had no idea.
Parent or some.
I just got cold chills.
I bet you did,
man.
Somebody else confirmed that to me. And I was like, did that really? I thought they were just messing with me. They typed it in.
It was 1996. The code to get into Louisville's facility was 1996.
Yeah. And then he got a Louisville tattoo, but this is what, you know, look, I mean, this is the long, windy road of Rick Pitino.
Texture, can we please stop with the draft updates? I can't take Zach's voice for that long. Oh, stop it. We're going to keep doing it. It's
now
funny.
We're definitely going to do it.
Yes.
Well, now we're
Clintman.
Doing more. Take that.
Texture, Rick, Eddie, and Stoops both dabble in horses, and we're all at Jeff Ruby's after the Keeneland sale. There we go. How about that? A little horse connection.
So that looks, the photo you sent me looks like when a place in which Stoops would be like saying his farewells.
Yes.
Like too, that,
yeah.
that Double D is was talking about.
Yes.
So yeah, that's, that relationship, what do they talk about?
I don't know. Money? I have no idea. I don't know what the commonality, because I mean, Stoops is from He's Youngstown tough. He's from Youngstown, Ohio. They're blue collar. They work in factories. They take a lunch pail to work. And Rick Pitino, Slick Rick from New York City, the Italian mobster himself, the Godfather. I mean, they couldn't be more opposite people, Phil.
Yeah,
and it's a great. I mean, they really couldn't be opposite upbringings, opposite families. I mean, just opposite sports.
Like, I understood the standoffishness of Bobby 2.0 and Rick Pitino. Like, it brought 100%. It brought up, look, let's be honest, his old skeletons. Like,
yeah,
in his closet.
Yeah.
And it was something that he tried to get away from, and that kind of caused a rift between
he and Jurich
for a bit. But this just, like, I don't know. Like, I don't think there's any animosity between him and good old Rick Pitino and Jeff Brom.
Who had Rick Pitino donating NIL to Kentucky football? That to me is the most stunning of all of it. Like,
it's so bizarre.
I get the
Pope,
you know,
connection.
The Pope connection, and hey, I really miss Kentucky and all these other things, and I'm still hurt by Louisville and all this stuff. But the Kentucky football one, it was almost like an extra jab, if you will. And I don't think it was an intentional jab.
No.
I think, but it really feels like that.
And that's what goes back to what we talked about the first hour. It's like somebody needs to get in his ear and say, hey,
slow down
a little bit, because of his self-help book. Get better, not bitter.
Yeah.
Is what is
better, not bitter.
That's his whole, you know, that's his moniker.
Yeah.
And he, like it or not, it comes across like he is still holding on to the Bevin board and how they ousted him and all that.
Unfairly.
And it's like, even though there's none of those people are here anymore.
Yeah, and his name, you know, he always goes out his way. My name's been cleared. I did nothing wrong. I didn't know. Da, 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 da. All right, before we take a break and get Andy in here, I've got to ask you, Phil, and Zach, too. You can chime on this and on this, too, Zach, unless there's a pick coming in. Presidential debate is tonight. 9 p.m., CNN, fake Tapper, as I've seen him.
AJ Mitchell from UC Santa Barbara. He's a Swedish player. Back-to-back Swedes getting drafted
to
in the NBA. How about that?
To the Knicks.
Takeover.
There we go. The Swedes are taking over.
Debate. Texture. Debate talk. By the way, OAN Plus tonight. We've got special wall-to-wall coverage.
That's right. Wall-to-wall coverage on OAN Plus tonight, but the debate is on CNN. Jake Tapper moderating. But, I mean, the first debate that I can recall where all these parameters have been, you know, pushed into the debate. Like, no press is allowed. No live crowd's allowed.
Wow, I didn't see that the live crowd. Wow, I didn't see that.
Yeah, no, there's no live crowd. And the White House press corps is throwing a fit.
Do you see what CNN's doing now?
There's
like a 1 or 2 minute delay.
Well, so yeah. Donald Trump Jr. just tweeted about that, how he's not happy about how this is.
Instead of a 7 second delay, which is normally on TV, it's a 1 to 2 minute delay.
Yeah.
He's like, they're gonna edit out answers or edit to make Joe Biden look better.
Oh, my.
And like, this is going to be a mess. Like, no matter what happens, it's going to be an absolute mess. But yeah, it's just going to be Jake Tapper, TV crew, Trump, Biden, whoever their people are that they're bringing with them.
Has this ever happened before?
No, it's never happened. And now they have these little lights on the podiums. Like, when the light's green, your microphone is active. When the lights are red, your microphone's turned off.
Oh, I mean, that's pro-Trump right there. I mean, Trump is going to keep talking over that and screaming into – he may take Joe's freaking
– He will.
Oh, he will.
Over. Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Yeah. He'll
so they have a longer broadcast delay. Biden refused a drug test. Media banished from the room in case of a presidential medical emergency. And no live audience. What is this, COVID?
Presidential medical emergency? What are they banking on? One of them having like an attack?
Is one of them going to keel over?
I mean, they're both ancient.
What is Biden like taking beforehand? I saw Antonio Brown put up with like a lot of coke and some perks in there.
Yeah. A syringe.
2000s Major League Baseball, baby.
That's right. This is the roid era.
Let's go.
This is Rafael Palmeiro. Just looking at Biden.
Rafael Palmeiro.
Rafael Palmeiro. That's the name I've heard of.
Oh, my gosh. Palmeiro was on the Rangers when he got busted, right?
Yeah.
And then who was the dude on the Orioles with the mustache that got busted? Was it?
No, Palmeiro was on the Orioles.
Oh, that's who it was.
That's
the same
who it
guy.
Was. You're right.
He started with the Rangers.
He went from the Orioles to the Rangers. You're right.
Yes.
Yes, Rafael Palmeiro.
He was the guy who went to Congress like, look at me. I have never used steroids.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
He was the Texas A&M coach.
Yes.
And then he got busted like a week later.
Famous. it's up there with, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Famous lies on Congress.
I love it.
I I have, man, never mind. I'm going to leave it alone. I was going to move on. We'll read a few more texts. We'll take a break so we can have Andy on. Texter, John Bowles, latest investigation, Hawk Tua problems.
By the way, I know like every time you're about to start text, I just interject. Blank told me that I'll tell you off the air because I don't know if he wants to be saying who on the air. A prominent individual came up to Mr. Blankenbaker Sr.
Yeah.
For the troubleshooter report.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Blank.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, yes, Blankenbaker Sr. on there making news.
A prominent individual from around the community that people would know went down, knocked on the front door of the Bonnie Castle Club.
You kidding me?
And said, thank you for doing this.
Wow.
Yeah.
How
Blankenbaker
about that?
Moving and shaking. How about that?
He already has the mayor's number. He has like the Kentucky Attorney General's number in his phone or what?
What does Blank send to the mayor? Dieter's text, Dieter's tweets.
Way to handle traffic after Louisville football games.
Get it
the
done.
Best. Yeah.
No, my favorite is like, get it done. Make this guy the police chief now.
Yeah, that was great.
I love that.
Get out of the way so they can do their jobs. All right, a couple more texts. Texter, Brady Anderson. I'm not reading that Biden text. Texter, get a better dog, not a bitter dog. Texter, the link between Stoops and Patino. Texter says they both hate Cal. That's pretty good. Texter, Rick, if you drove to the lesson, did you leave at 6 a.m. to make the 9 a.m. lesson? I don't drive that slow, okay? Wasn't that slow. Texter, 452, Strebel says Royal, I don't know how I said it. Orioles. It's other than Orioles. Texter, you said horse connection right. Yes, horse is in nay, I'm a horse. Texter, come on, Hallmark movie with your lady in December, money for rest of the night. I'm not sure what that's in.
Oh, it's the Chiefs are doing a Hallmark movie.
Yes. It's going to be awful.
Look, I mean, but it'll have tons of eyeballs on it because it's a rom-com during Christmas.
Yes, and it has the Chiefs, so they draw in some football fans along with the normal Hallmark people. The only thing I care about is does Jason Anderson have a part in it?
He should.
He should have. He's the voice of the Chiefs. You're damn right he should. All right, we'll go ahead and take a break while Phil tries to fix the microphone. It just fell on the table.
It just fell right
on
the board.
Go ahead, Zach. Do your thing. Go ahead.
Memphis just picked Jalen Wells, and now we're at the portion of the NBA draft where we're just making up names.
Yeah, Jalen Wells, congratulations. Dream maker, Memphis Grizzlies. All right, we'll say goodbye to Phil Baker.
Bye.
All right, bye to Phil Baker. Zach will be with us throughout the rest of the show. Want to tell you all about our good friends at 502 Hemp at 812 Hemp. Even Ty Spalding referenced 502 Hemp during his spot today on the radio. Said, you know, have a relaxing weekend. Take a 502 Hemp gummy and hit the bed because you'll be relaxed. You'll be feeling good. And you can do that, too, at either location. The 502 Hemp location, Douglas Hills, right down the street from Oxmoor Mall. And then 812 Hemp, that's right there off of Lewis and Clark Parkway in Clarksville, Indiana, by the Kroger and Court Physical Therapy. See what they can do for you. Check them out at 502hemp.com.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.